Cale Clark here. Thanks for listening to my podcast. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Relevant Radio and get a free phone. Don't delay. CharityMobile.com. That's CharityMobile.com.
Fascinating facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
A tremendous Tuesday to you. Why don't you call in right now, 1-888-914-9149. Toll free to talk to me on the Cale Clark Show, 888-914-9149. You can also email the program. Great place to send your questions, possible show topics you want to hear about, Cale, C-A-L-E, at relevantradio.com. And you can follow me on Twitter as well, at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. And there's a show account as well, at Cale Clark Show. There's also a Faith Explained account for the Faith Explained program, at Faith Explained. Bet you didn't know that. Well, there's some really, really good news that came out today. A lot of bishops in the United States are waiting with bated breath, trying to find out, hey, when are we going to get the prayer for the consecration of Russia and Ukraine to the Immaculate Heart of Mary? That's going to happen on Friday, on March 25th. We know this. The Pope's going to do it. All the bishops of the world want to join him in this. And in the United States, it's no different. Well, a lot of them are still waiting. However, some news broke today. We do have from the Archdiocese of St. Paul on their website, they have published, they have revealed the prayer that is actually the text. It's going to be the text of consecration that's going to be prayed by the Holy Father on Friday. I thought I'd share this with you, reveal this to you, because there's a lot of great stuff here, a lot of great theology. And then later on, I really kind of answer this question, because I know a lot of you have this question. I know a lot of my non-Catholic friends have this question. Maybe even some of my Catholic friends and family members have this question. Maybe it's true for you as well. Why in the world are we doing this consecration to Mary in the first place? Why not do it to God? That's a really good question. We'll get to that later on. So let's check out this prayer here. I'm just going to read it to you because it's really beautiful. And you can find it on the website of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis. And so this is how they're going to pray it. This is how the Holy Father is going to do it. And it starts off like this. O Mary, Mother of God and our Mother, in this time of trial, we turn to you. As our Mother, you love us and know us. No concern of our hearts is hidden from you. Mother of mercy, how often we have experienced your watchful care and your peaceful presence. You never cease to guide us to Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Yet we have strayed from that path of peace. We have forgotten the lesson learned from the tragedies of the last century, the sacrifice of the millions who fell in two world wars. We have disregarded the commitments we made as a community of nations. We have betrayed people's dreams of peace and the hopes of the young. We grew sick with greed. We thought only of our own nations and their interests. We grew indifferent and caught up in our selfish needs and concerns. We chose to ignore God, to be satisfied with our illusions, to grow arrogant and aggressive, to suppress innocent lives, and to stockpile weapons. We stopped being our neighbor's keepers and stewards of our common home. We have ravaged the garden of the earth with war, and by our sins we have broken the heart of our Heavenly Father, who desires us to be brothers and sisters. We grew indifferent to everyone and everything except ourselves. Now with shame we cry out, "Forgive us, Lord." Holy Mother, amid the misery of our sinfulness, and amid our struggles and weaknesses, amid the mystery of iniquity that is evil and war, you remind us that God never abandons us, but continues to look upon us with love, ever ready to forgive us and raise us up to new life. He has given you to us and made your Immaculate Heart a refuge for the Church and for all humanity. By God's gracious will, you are ever with us. Even in the most troubled moments of our history, you are there to guide us with tender love. These are beautiful words. This is really, really well done. And by the way, I will have producer Jim post a link to the prayer in the show notes for this episode, so you'll be able to read this as well and really pray through it. in preparation for what's going to happen on Friday when the Holy Father, along with all the bishops, are going to do this together. So I just want to read the end of it to you, the actual consecration here. So check this out. This is the prayer that Pope Francis is going to pray. This is the consecration of Russia and Ukraine, and really all the peoples of the world as well, to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. It goes on to say, "We now turn to you and knock at the door of your heart. We are your beloved children. In every age, you make yourself known to us, calling us to conversion. At this dark hour, help us and grant us your comfort. Say to us once more, am I not here, I who am your mother?" And that's really beautiful. Those are, of course, the words of Our Lady of Guadalupe to Juan Diego. "Am I not here, I who am your mother?" Goes on to say, "You are able to untie the knots of our hearts and of our times." And this is, of course, a reference to Our Lady, Undoer of Knots. And by that title, Pope Francis is very fond of that title for Our Lady. All these situations, these knots, not only in our own individual lives, but also in the world, we can entrust them to her prayers that they might be untied. So, Our Lady, Untier of Knots, "You are able to untie the knots of our hearts and of our times. In you we place our trust. We are confident that, especially in moments of trial, you will not be deaf to our supplication and will come to our aid. That is what you did at Cana in Galilee when you interceded with Jesus and he worked the first of his signs. To preserve the joy of the wedding feast, you said to him, 'They have no wine.' Now, O Mother, repeat those words and that prayer, for in our own day we have run out of the wine of hope. Joy has fled. Fraternity has faded. We have forgotten our humanity and squandered the gift of peace. We opened our hearts to violence and destructiveness. How greatly we need your maternal help. Therefore, O Mother, hear our prayer. Star of the sea, do not let us be shipwrecked in the tempest of war. Ark of the New Covenant, inspire projects and paths of reconciliation. Queen of Heaven, restore God's peace to the world. Eliminate hatred and the thirst for revenge, and teach us forgiveness. Free us from war, protect our world from the menace of nuclear weapons. Queen of the Rosary, make us realize our need to pray and to love. Queen of the human family, show people the path of fraternity. Queen of Peace, obtain peace for our world. O Mother, may your sorrowful pleas stir our hardened hearts. May the tears you shed for us make this valley, parched by our hatred, blossom anew. Amid the thunder of weapons, may your prayer turn our thoughts to peace. May your maternal touch soothe those who suffer and flee from the rain of bombs. May your motherly embrace comfort those forced to leave their homes and their native land. May your sorrowful heart move us to compassion and inspire us to open our doors and to care for our brothers and sisters who are injured and cast aside." You're listening to the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. This is breaking news. The text of the prayer, the consecration of Russia, Ukraine, and all the peoples of the world that Pope Francis is going to do on Friday, the Feast of the Annunciation, March the 25th, in union with bishops all over the world. That text has now been made public, and we're going through it. I'm sharing this with you right now on the program. It goes on to say, "Holy Mother of God, as you stood beneath the cross, Jesus, seeing the disciple at your side, said, 'Behold your son.' In this way, he entrusted each of us to you, to the disciple, and to each of us, he said, 'Behold your mother.' Mother Mary, we now desire to welcome you into our lives and our history." So this is really important because a lot of people ask the question, why do this consecration to Mary? This is part of the answer right here. What happened is she stood beneath the cross with the Apostle John, who, of course, is a representative for all of us. He's called the beloved disciple in John's gospel, in the fourth gospel. He's never called by his name, but we know in all likelihood that that was John. And so he's kind of a stand-in for all of us. Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. So let's go on here with this prayer. "At this hour, a weary and distraught humanity stands with you beneath the cross, needing to entrust itself to you, and through you to consecrate itself to Christ. The people of Ukraine and Russia, who venerate you with great love, now turn to you, even as your heart beats with compassion for them and for all those peoples decimated by war, hunger, injustice, and poverty. Therefore, Mother of God and our Mother, to your Immaculate Heart, we solemnly entrust and consecrate ourselves, the Church and all humanity, especially Russia and Ukraine. Accept this act that we carry out with confidence and love. Grant that war may end and peace spread throughout the world. The fiat that arose from your heart opened the doors of history to the Prince of Peace. We trust that through your heart, peace will dawn once more. To you, we consecrate the future of the whole human family, the needs and expectations of every people, the anxieties and hopes of the world. Through your intercession, may God's mercy be poured out on the earth and the gentle rhythm of peace return to mark our days. Our Lady of the Fiat, on whom the Holy Spirit descended, restore among us the harmony that comes from God. May you, our living fountain of hope, water the dryness of our hearts. In your womb, Jesus took flesh. Help us to foster the growth of communion. You once trod the streets of our world. Lead us now on the paths of peace. Amen. So that is the text. You just heard it right here on the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. This is the text of the consecration of Russia, Ukraine, indeed all the peoples of the world that the Pope is going to pray on Friday. If you want to share your opinion on this, your thoughts on this beautiful prayer, call in right now, 888-914-9149. That's the toll-free line to call me for free on the Cale Clark Show, 888-914-9149. So this is really, really important. And obviously the bishops of the world are going to be joining in on this. And so one of the interesting questions that comes up here on a geopolitical level is the fact that the Russian Orthodox Christians and the Russian Orthodox Church in particular, the official church, they may not be very happy that Pope Francis is actually going to do this. And J.D. Flynn of the Catholic journalism site The Pillar, who's one of the people who broke the news of this prayer becoming public, it's now kind of out there, even though some of the bishops don't have the actual text, it is now out there. Actually, earlier today, Pope Francis talked with the Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, and he said, hey, the Holy See, the Vatican, is willing to try to help in negotiations for peace between Ukraine and Russia. And Pope Francis has offered that several times since the war started. But Russia has no interest in this. There's been no indication that Russia is interested at all in the Vatican's intervention and the Vatican trying to broker peace in any way. And I think there's a pretty good reason for that. And I think it has to do with the Orthodox Church in Russia as well. And I'm going to share that with you in just a moment. But Zelensky actually on Twitter actually posted a picture of him speaking with the Pope through a video link. And he said in his tweet, he said, talk to @Pontifex, and that's the Pope's Twitter handle, of course, @Pontifex, told His Holiness about the difficult humanitarian situation and the blocking of rescue corridors by Russian troops. The mediating role of the Holy See in ending human suffering would be appreciated. Thanks for the prayers for Ukraine and peace. Now, obviously, yes, it would be appreciated, and they want to help. They just have not been allowed to do so. So one of the things that the J.D. Flynn pointed out is that the fact that the Pope is consecrating Russia and Ukraine to Mary's Immaculate Heart on Friday, that is not exactly going to help Russia get more enthusiastic about the Vatican maybe helping to broker peace. Because again, the Russian Orthodox Church has really not been happy about the idea that Catholics have wanted their country to be consecrated to the Blessed Virgin Mary. And in fact, some of you might be readers of The Economist. I don't know if you saw this on their website today. In many ways, I'm just going to say it, in many ways, the Orthodox Church in Russia has become a political pawn of Putin. Here's what The Economist had to say today about this. And I wasn't able to read the whole article because of the fact that it's behind a paywall and I don't subscribe to it. But it talks about how Russia's Cathedral of the Armed Forces, which was consecrated in 2020, it's in Patriot Park, which is a military theme park, which is about 60 kilometers or so west of Moscow. It sits in Patriot Park. It's a military theme park. This is the Cathedral of the Armed Forces. The church is actually painted khaki green, a kind of military color, and it's got a gold Orthodox cross on top. And in fact, Nazi tanks from the Second World War were melted down to make the floor of this cathedral. And some of the mosaics that are there, angels gazing down on Russian soldiers, which commemorates Russia's role in Syria's civil war. It also, there's some icons there and mosaics commemorating Russia's invasion of Georgia in 2008 and the annexation of Crimea in 2014, if you can believe that. So this church is very politicized. And so, as The Economist goes on to explain, in Russia, the church and the military are kind of hand in hand. And the head of the Russian Orthodox Church, he is Patriarch Kirill, he actually supports the invasion of Ukraine. He will routinely preach about Kremlin propaganda. He claims that Russia is not the aggressor. Genocide is being perpetrated by Ukrainians against Russian speakers in the Donbas. That's not true. And a lot of Russian priests apparently have been, Russian Orthodox priests have been actually blessing bombs that were destined to be dropped on Syria and Crimea. So this is the dangerous alliance that can happen. As a friend of mine said to me today, this is exactly what happens when religion climbs into bed with nationalism. And there's nothing wrong with a pure and right-thinking patriotism. That is a virtue, all things being equal. But when nationalism comes into play, that can become a sin, because when you think that your country can do no wrong, no matter what it's doing, and it's all been blessed by God, that's a great spiritual danger. And one of the things I talked about recently on the Faith Explained show, when we looked at war and peace, we did this whole series called War and Peace on the concept of just war. A lot of people were asking that question. When Russia invaded Ukraine, is this a just war? The answer is no. But one of the popes, I believe it was Pope Leo XIII, he actually coined the phrase Americanism. That can be the excessive nationalism. That can be sinful as well. And so we talked about a lot of things there, the morality of the dropping of the atom bombs in World War II, all kinds of stuff like that. But when religion climbs into bed with nationalism, that can be a problem. And one of the things that we see here is, quite frankly, this is one of the weaknesses of Orthodoxy. I'm talking about the Orthodox churches of the East. This is one of the weaknesses in that system. Most of them are ethnic national churches. The Greek Orthodox Church, the Russian Orthodox Church, where the temptation is always to this sinful type of nationalism. And we see this going on right now with the Russian Orthodox Church and how they're kind of in bed with Putin. And so there's no surprise to me at all when J.D. Flynn is saying that they are not happy about this consecration of Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And there's a real pushback there. So that actually makes a lot of sense to me. And so we've got to pray. And one of the other things that he said, that J.D. said today, was this kind of reminds him of, remember that beautiful moment during the pandemic? Remember the streets of Rome were completely empty when the COVID pandemic first started? And there was that prayer for the world. I remember when Pope Francis came out with the monstrance and was kind of blessing the city and in effect blessing the world as well. That was a powerful moment that transcended nations, politics, and the hope is that what's going to happen on Friday will do the exact same thing. As we all kind of humble ourselves before God, we need to implore the intercession of the Mother of God. We need to ask for her help. We need to pray for an end to this war. But the question still remains, why do the consecration to Mary in particular? Why not go straight to God? That's a very good question. And we will answer that right after this break on the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. You can call in right now, 888-914-9149. If you have a take on this, 888-914-9149. Be right back. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Explaining the faith so you can explain it to others. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Hey, welcome back. 888-914-9149. Shared some breaking news with you before the break. The prayer that the Pope is going to use to consecrate Russia, Ukraine, the world to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, that is now public. I've shared a link with you. It's going to be in the show notes. If you go to relevantradio.com or through the app, you can check the podcast after the show and get that link, get the prayer, and maybe use it yourself to pray and get ready for what's going to happen on Friday. Also shared with you how the Orthodox are none too pleased about this. They don't really like the idea of Catholics trying to consecrate their country. Russian Orthodox Christians, they don't like the idea of Catholics wanting to consecrate their country to Our Lady. There's a lot of pushback there. A lot of them have just bought into Putin's narrative, and they're supporting the unjust war in Ukraine 100%. So I want to go to the phones right now. James is calling from Austin, Texas. Hello, James.
Hello, can you hear me, sir?
I sure can. You're a little muffled, but I think I can hear you.
Okay. I just I'm a convert
To
the faith, and from Lutheranism. And when I was going through my conversion, and I started running across Fatima and Lourdes, I remembered something I had read in Alexander Solzhenitsyn's Gulag Archipelago.
Wow. And
he actually recorded the Marian apparition.
Oh, really?
That took place in the Solovetsky Islands, which is where the Gulag labor camps were started early on in the communist period. And there was a church there in one of the islands. It was the it was on Golgotha Hill. It was the Golgotha Crucifixion. Let me see if I can get the church. Of the Monastery of the Crucifixion.
Okay, okay.
And the name of the church. And this is a footnote, page 52, volume 2, footnote 18. This is an unusual church on Golgotha Hill, the Golgotha Crucifixion Monastery. This is an unusual name for a church and monastery, not encountered anywhere else. According to a legend, a manuscript of the 18th century in the State Public Library, Solovetsky Patriarch, The Lives of the Solovetsky Fathers. On June 18th, 1712, the monk priest Job, during an all-night prayer vigil at the foot of the hill, saw a vision of the Mother of God in all the glory of heaven.
Huh.
And she said to him, "This hill, from henceforth, shall be called Golgotha, and it shall be built a church and a monastery of the crucifixion, and it will be whitened by the suffering of countless multitudes." That is what they named it, and they built it there. But for more than 200 years, the prophecy was an empty one.
Well, interesting. I had not heard about this. I had not heard about this Marian apparition reported by Alexander Solzhenitsyn. Well, that is news to me. That is news to me. So, but I really want to thank you, James, for calling in and sharing that. I'll have to learn some more about this. Maybe some of you out there listening have heard about this before. I certainly hadn't. But you can call in 888-914-9149. And by the way, welcome home, James. So glad that you're a home in the church, convert from Lutheranism. That is absolutely fantastic. Well, I wanted to share with you a little bit about the actual consecration to Mary. Why is it that we consecrate anything or anyone or even nations like Russia, Ukraine, to Mary? Why not consecrate directly to God? Well, that's a really good question. That's a really good question. I want to get into that. But first, I think we need to figure out what consecration actually is. And by the way, I just want to give out that phone number one more time. 1-888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. We'll get back to your phone calls in just a moment. So if you're on the line, please stay there. I want to define what consecration actually is, by the way. What does it actually mean? Well, when you consecrate something or someone, you set that thing or person or nation, in this case, you set it apart for sacred use, for dedicated holy use. So it's dedicated specifically to God. So think about a chalice, right? A chalice is nothing more than a goblet, a cup. But once it's consecrated for use at Mass, you can't use it for any other purpose, okay? And there's all kinds of cases in Old Testament times and also even in the New Covenant time when the temple in Jerusalem was looted, the sacred vessels, you know, King Nebuchadnezzar used them for his parties. God was not pleased. The same thing when the Romans looted the temple, carried all the booty back to Rome after they destroyed it in 70 AD. Well, in the same way, we have chalices, we have vestments, we have certain things that are consecrated, set apart for the worship of God. And sometimes people are as well. Actually, all of us are by virtue of our baptism in a certain sense. So these other consecrations that can happen later, whether it's consecration to the religious life, for example, consecration, a priestly consecration, that's kind of a call within a call that's based off of that original baptismal consecration where God basically says, you're mine, you belong to me in Christ. And so this is really the goal. All of us are kind of set apart for holiness, right? Through our baptism, sanctity, sainthood, that's our destiny. We're called to be saints. St. Paul writes this in many of his letters, in his letter to the Romans. Those at Rome called to be saints. Those in Corinth called to be saints. And we did a series on 1 Corinthians called Saints in Sin City on the Faith Explained program. It's all about that. We have to live in the middle of at times a very unholy world full of unholy things, but we are called to holiness. We're called to be infectious in that regard, to spread that to others as well. But in terms of certain consecrations or entrustments, as the Pope is going to do on Friday, that's actually pretty well known, and that has a long history in the church, in spirituality. It has roots in the Bible, and we can talk about it a little bit. It was really promoted, by the way. This really kind of got going in earnest in Spain in the 15th and 16th centuries. In France in the 17th century, St. Louis-Marie de Montfort, you've heard about him, of course, his total consecration to Mary. This is where Pope John Paul II, back when he was Karol Wojtyla, when he was in the underground seminary in Poland during World War II, he was really concerned about this whole concept. He thought, is our Marian devotion detracting from worship of Christ? Is it distracting us from Christ? It was a big spiritual preoccupation of his, and one of the things that helped him a lot was reading the writings of St. Louis de Montfort, and that's where this idea of totus tuus, which eventually became his papal motto, totally yours, and I belong to Christ through Mary totally, okay? So that's where that came from, the writings of St. Louis de Montfort. St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, the Sacred Heart of Jesus devotion, the consecration to the Sacred Heart, that also came into play during this period. And then, of course, in the 19th century, late 19th century, in the 20th century, Pope Leo XIII, Pope Pius XI, they were very big into this movement as well. St. Maximilian Kolbe, another martyr of World War II, the Militia of the Immaculate, that's another great example of a consecration to Mary that's done by those who belong to that group. And of course, over the past century, there have been nations, this has been done in the past, consecrating nations to Mary, Portugal, Poland, Italy, and of course, Our Lady of Fatima. She asked for specifically the consecration of Russia to her Immaculate Heart, and this was carried out, of course, by Pope John Paul II on March the 25th in 1984. And Sister Lucia, we've talked about this ad nauseum, I don't want to go back to this, but Sister Lucia said this is exactly what Our Lady asked for. It's sufficient. It fulfills her request. It's efficacious. And so that's really, really important to know. So ultimately, with respect to consecrating things, people, places to Mary, we've got to make sure to understand that really only God can do this. God is the one that makes anyone or anything holy, okay? God gives us his holiness. That happens in baptism. He gives us the gift of his grace, his life. He wants us to be like Jesus. He wants us to be transformed into his image, and that's really what it's all about. So that's what the consecration kind of is, and really this has its roots in Jesus Christ. I'm going to get into how this kind of relates to Mary in a second, but in John's Gospel, in John chapter 17, Jesus basically talks about how he consecrates himself. How can God consecrate himself? Well, this is what he did, and Pope Benedict XVI actually talked about this. He was giving a talk to priests back in 2009 at the Vatican, but some of his comments on this front, they have a lot to say to all Catholics and really all people in the world, and one of the things that Jesus said was this, and the Pope talked about this. This is in John chapter 17, if you want to read it. Jesus said, he was praying, of course, for his followers. He said, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself so that they also may be consecrated in truth. And so Pope Benedict said, the Lord asks for our sanctification in truth, and he sends us forth to carry on this mission. But the Pope said, Pope Benedict said, what really kind of gets our attention, we can't really kind of understand this at first, is when Jesus says, for their sake, I consecrate myself. Well, hang on here. Isn't Jesus himself the Holy One of God? You know, he's God the Son. How can he sanctify himself? How can he consecrate himself? That's a really, really good question. I'm going to actually give you the answer right after this quick break. Hate to leave you hanging on a cliffhanger there, but I'll be right back. 1-888-914-9149's K.O. Clark Show on Relevant Radio. Be right back. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Helping you keep your mind off traffic and on the more important things in life. It's Cale Clark on Relevant Radio.
Hey, welcome back to the program, 888-914-9149. Well, I was sharing with you just before the break some comments from Pope Benedict XVI back in 2009. He was talking to a group of priests, and he was talking about this whole concept of Jesus consecrating himself. How in the world is that possible? He is God, so how can he consecrate himself? How can he possibly sanctify himself? Well, Pope Benedict said, we need to clarify what the Bible means by the words holy and what it means to consecrate or sanctify oneself. Now, obviously, holy references God's own nature, his unique, his divine way of being, which is his alone. He is the only authentic Holy One. So all other holiness derives from him. It's a participation in his way of being. He is purest light, truth, and untainted good. So to consecrate something or someone means, therefore, to give that thing or person to God as his property, to take it out of the context of what is ours and to insert it in his milieu so that it no longer belongs to our affairs, but is totally of God. So that's what, when we're talking about consecrating Russia and Ukraine to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, this is what we're sort of talking about here. And we're going to get into how Mary fits into this in just a second. But back to the Pope and what he said here, Pope Benedict. He said, this thing or this person, once it's been consecrated, no longer belongs to us or even to itself, but is immersed in God. So now this is really fascinating what he says here. And this is the brilliance of Pope Benedict. Man, what an incredible mind here. He says, so when you give up something in order to give it over to God, we also call this something else. We call it a sacrifice. So this thing will no longer be my property, but his property. In the Old Testament, the giving over of a person to God was called his sanctification. Now that was identified with priestly ordination. It also defines the essence of the priesthood. It's a transfer of ownership, being taken out of the world and given to God. We can now see these two directions which belong to the process of sanctification or consecration. It's a departure from worldly life, being set apart for God, but it's not a segregation. Rather, being given over to God means being charged to represent others. So he's talking to priests here, remember. He said the priest is removed from worldly bonds and given over to God. And precisely in this way, starting with God, he's now available for others, for everyone. So when Jesus said, I consecrate myself, he makes himself both priest and victim. It's the only time in the history of the world that the priest was also the victim. He offers himself. So the Pope says Bultmann, and Rudolf Bultmann was a German scholar, very controversial. He had a lot of wrong ideas, but Pope Benedict says, Bultmann was right to translate the phrase, I consecrate myself, when Jesus says, I consecrate myself. He actually translated it as, I sacrifice myself. That makes a lot of sense. Now we see what happens when Jesus says, I consecrate myself for them. This is the act by which Jesus, the priest, gives himself over to the Father for us. He is priest and victim. I consecrate myself. I sacrifice myself. And so that there's a lot of reflection, a lot of prayer that we can make about that. And that's really the origins of the priesthood in the church. But then I just want to say one more thing, and this is a great, great talk by the Pope. I wish I could just read the whole thing, but I can't. But when Jesus says, sanctify them in the truth, your word is truth. He's praying to the Father, your word is truth. And so the Pope says, really, we've got to be immersed in the word of God because that's the bath that purifies us. That's going to transform them. And the Pope asked at the time, Pope Benedict, he said, how do things stand in our own lives? Are we truly pervaded by the word of God? Is that the nourishment that we live by, even more than bread and even more than the things of this world? Do we really know that word? Do we love it? Are we deeply engaged with it to the point that it really leaves a mark on our lives and shapes our thinking? Or is it rather the case that our thinking is constantly being shaped by all the things that others say and do? Aren't prevailing opinions the criterion by which we all too often measure ourselves? Are we not remaining, when all is said and done, mired in the superficiality that people today are generally caught up in? Do we allow ourselves to be deeply purified by the word of God? Friedrich Nietzsche, and remember, he was the guy who talked about the Superman, right? The atheist, Nietzsche scoffed at humility and obedience as the virtue of slaves, a source of repression. He replaced them with pride in man's absolute freedom. So this destructive pride, that's not what God wants for us. It's only in humility, who we really are, that we find the truth. And so I'm going to actually give Jim, producer Jim, a link to that talk as well. We'll put it in the show notes. It's really, really well done by Pope Benedict the 16th. So lots more to say about this. Before we end the program, I do have to answer that question ultimately. Why are we doing this consecration to Mary and not to God himself? But first, I want to go to the phones. I want to go to Father Joe, good friend of the program, calling from Bayhead, New Jersey. Welcome back, Father Joe. Father Joe, hi, good to talk to you again.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, you asked the question about why the patriarch, is it Kirill or Krill?
Kirill, yes.
Is not too happy with this. I think it's because there's an image that the Russian Orthodox Church is promoting, and that is that sort of they are the savior for the world because they have... and Putin is their instrument to do that because the West has become so corrupt and, you know, infiltrated with sexual immorality, abortion, crimes on the rampant. There's lack of law and order. So I think that's the image that the Russian people, a lot of them have, if they're Orthodox observers. That's my guess.
Yeah, Father Joe, I think that is a good guess there, and there's no doubt that that's part of. And let's face it, there is a lot of decadence and sin in the West, as there is everywhere. And people who kind of romanticize Russia in a certain sense, a lot of people don't realize how prevalent things like abortion is in Russia. It's absolutely rampant there. So in many respects, there's nothing better going on over there. And that certainly doesn't give carte blanche to an unjust war and an invasion of a country that's not threatening you in any way. And all the destruction and chaos and carnage and death of the innocent, especially attacks on civilians, which are absolutely reprehensible war crimes that's going on. But yeah, I agree with you that that may be some of the thinking pattern there. Now, one of our producers told me that there was an off-air caller who didn't want to come on the air, who this person was saying that they heard that Patriarch Kirill is actually an ex-KGB member himself. I don't know about that. I don't know if that's true. And other Orthodox leaders used to be in the KGB. I have no idea. I don't know whether that's the case or not. Obviously, Vladimir Putin himself is ex-KGB, but I don't know about that. I can't answer that one, but that's an interesting theory. Can't verify it. So I don't have an answer to that question, but I do need to answer this because the big question that was posing here, and a lot of non-Catholics often ask us, why is this consecration of Russia and Ukraine and the world itself and all its peoples being done? Why is it a consecration to Mary? Why not to God himself? Well, all right, obviously, Mary is not divine. She is not the Redeemer. She is not the Savior. She is a creature. She's the greatest of all creatures, though. St. Jose Maria Escrivá, the founder of Opus Dei, used to say, greater than you, speaking about Mary, greater than you, no one but God. I mean, she did something that angels could only dream of. She gave the word flesh. Unreal. So, however, one of the reasons why her intercession is extremely important, and that's what we're really praying for here, is her intercession, is because God willed that Mary has so much to do with our Catholic life, with our own holiness, with our own consecration to God. And so this is how Vatican II put it. In the document Lumen Gentium, which is Light of the Nations, it really is the document about the Church. So the end of that document, it's all about Mary. And in Lumen Gentium, it calls Mary our mother in the order of grace. Okay? So this goes back to behold your mother, woman, behold your son, behold your mother at the foot of the cross. So in terms of consecration, and this is something that a priest at the University of Dayton, Father Johann Rotin, the University of Dayton has a lot of great Marian reflection and teaching. One of the things that he said, when you think about the fact that we're consecrating here, we're talking about consecration, she is the person who's consecrated herself perfectly to God's will and to his plan. And we read about this in Luke's gospel. This is what her fiat is all about. Let it be done to me according to your word. So it's through her motherly care. She's trying to pray for us so that we might correspond just as well as she does. And that's her dream for us as her spiritual children. So that's what it's all about. And so St. Louis de Montfort said that consecration to Mary is consecration to, quote, the perfect means, end of quote, which Jesus chose to unite himself with us and vice versa. So what does that really mean? Well, that's kind of like saying, okay, Jesus came through Mary to us, so we need to go back to him through Mary. And again, St. Jose Maria said something similar. He said, to Jesus we always go, and to him we always return through Mary. So she was most perfectly consecrated to Jesus and set apart for him. That's what it means to be consecrated, set apart. Her whole life was all about being set apart for her unique role in salvation history, in bringing Jesus to us. So in the same way, we need to be brought back to him through her intercession. She's involved with it. She's involved with our ultimate end, which is God. And so, and by the way, all the consecrations to Mary that have ever been done, they all state that our ultimate end game, our ultimate goal is God. Okay, so you can't separate the heart of Mary and the heart of Christ, because they're beating in time. They're beating in time. She is that kind of shortcut in a certain sense to the heart of Jesus. So I think that's kind of in the background here when we talk about why is it that this consecration is being done through Mary. So that's really important to know. It's really important to be aware of. All right. We're going to go now to the phones. We're going to go to Marie, who's calling from Los Angeles. Hello, Marie.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. Yourself?
I'm well, thank you. As you were sharing about Pope Benedict,
yeah,
and what he was saying, the word came, desecration. You know how in the Old Testament things were desecrated and there were certain ways of restoring it back to proper worship? That's the word that came up in my heart.
Hmm, interesting. So we need almost this rededication, you know, if there's been a profanation,
yeah,
of a holy place.
Race.
Yeah.
Yes, it's like the holiness of humanity so wayward in our time.
Yeah, that's a great analogy. That's it's a great point. It's almost like spray painting a cathedral or something like that. The effect of sin marring, you know, the image of God in us and what he's created us to be. And so that's partially what we really need to pray for, isn't it, Marie? So thank you very much. That's Marie calling from Los Angeles. We're going to go now to Vincent, who's calling from Wisconsin. Hello, Vincent.
Good afternoon. We Hi. Had a group that kind of gets together and talks a little bit after church, and one man said, there's sort of a rumor that both Russians and Ukrainians are occasionally seeing an angel in the sky. Huh. And that reminded me of something my grandfather told me about World War I. There was something called the Angel of Mons. It was just a gigantic angel, and the men were in the trenches, and they both sides saw it. Heard anything like that?
You know, that's interesting that you mentioned that, Vincent. I had read a few reports, especially early on in the Russia-Ukraine war, that a lot of Ukrainian soldiers, and obviously it's very much a David and Goliath situation, although they're receiving a lot of help in terms of weapons and drones and things like that, the Ukrainian forces. But early on, a lot of them were saying that. I read some quotes from Ukrainian soldiers that said, you know, there are many times when they should have died, but they somehow survived, and they felt like they were sort of being supernaturally protected. Now, obviously, many of them have died, no question about it, and many innocent persons have not survived the conflict. But yeah, I did hear something to that effect. And then, of course, there was the famous urban legend of what was it? The ghost of Kyiv, you know, the plane that was allegedly shooting down all these Russian aircraft, which apparently was an urban legend. It wasn't true. And so, yeah, there was a lot of chatter about that. And by the way, I want to share with you guys as well that tomorrow on the program, on the Cale Clark Show, I'm going to have a very special guest who I think is going to shed a lot of light on the whole big picture geopolitical theme here. David Mulrooney, who was the Canadian ambassador to China a few years ago, major international diplomat. He's going to be my guest on the Cale Clark Show tomorrow. So we're going to be talking about all kinds of different things. What is China's role in this whole conflict? Are they going to back Russia up, or are they going to make their kind of corral Putin and maybe help bring about peace in a certain way? I'm going to ask him about that. And also, we're going to talk about some other things, too. We're going to talk about religious freedom in China. We've all heard lots of talk about that, the plight of the Uyghur Muslims there, the plight of the church as well. Don't forget, the underground church is still suffering in China. So David has a lot of information about that that he's going to be sharing with you tomorrow on the program. You do not want to miss that. Another thing that David Mulrooney did in the past was he was the president of one of the most venerable Catholic colleges in the world, St. Michael's College at the University of Toronto. So he's got also some thoughts on Catholic higher education. What is its present? Where is it failing? And what is the future? What's the road forward? So you're not going to want to miss that. My conversation with the former Canadian ambassador to China, David Mulrooney, who'll be joining me. Great guy, very faithful Catholic. He'll be joining me on the program tomorrow. You won't want to miss that. Another thing you're not going to want to miss, of course, is the Faith Explained tomorrow. We're going through the Our Father prayer, the various petitions in the Our Father. We're kind of looking at the last one right now on the Faith Explained. We're going to spend some time on this one because the last petition, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Really, it's probably better translated, deliver us from the evil one, from the devil himself. And we're kind of going through Jesus' temptations in the wilderness because that gives us a lot of light on how Satan tries to trip us up and tempt us and trick us. How Jesus defeated him, we can do the same with his help. So join me for that tomorrow, 12:30 Central on Relevant Radio, or check the podcast, The Faith Explained. But that's all the time we have for now on The Cale Clark Show. Thank you so much for listening. Please share the show with a friend. If you listen to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, give us a rating and review. It helps other people to find us. Or you can download them all at relevantradio.com and on the Relevant Radio app. Jim Shaper produced. Patrick Alog took your calls. Stay tuned for Timory. Take it away, Michaela.
Thank you for listening to my daddy.